Hi, everyone. Welcome or welcome back to the Physionic Podcast. My name is Nicholas Verhoeven. I'm a PhD candidate in molecular medicine, hold my master's in exercise physiology. And today's going to be a really laid-back podcast. We're not going to be talking too much science. Knowing me, it might end up turning into some sort of nerd fest discussing some aspect that I can't predict at the moment. But ultimately, this podcast is going to be discussing something that a number of you, I was really surprised actually, that a number of people really wanted to know my workout routine and kind of my health habits, like what I eat. And so that's what I'm going to be covering. I'm going to be covering my routine from the very beginning, what I used to do. I'm going to show you some images. So if you're watching the podcast, you'll be able to see some pretty embarrassing images of me. So hopefully you don't critique me too harshly, but it's been a long journey. So I'm going to be covering my lifting routine. I'm going to be covering just kind of generally my nutrition in terms of how I went about it. And then I'm going to go into a little bit of the different health habits, as well as I've got a series of supplements next to me of the things that I take. I don't think that any of them are absolutely necessary, but I'll share those as well because I feel like some people might be interested. So with that out of the way, this isn't going to have like a conclusion section and all that stuff like the usual podcasts have, and it's going to be probably a little less streamlined than most of my other podcasts, which is kind of comical considering they tend to be 30 minutes to an hour long, regardless, even with my notes. But I've got a few notes here, but it's definitely going to be kind of off the cuff. Anyway, so I've been lifting for an extremely long time. I started 12 years ago now. And what I mean by 12 years ago is I've always been active my entire life, but I was really, really skinny. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and throw up my first embarrassing picture. I was extremely skinny. I was 6'6", so I still am 6'6". I haven't shrunk, but I was 170 to 180 pounds, so really rail thin. And as I was really going through high school and whatnot, I was just active. I played basketball, played a ton of different sports, but I never actually lifted weights. I never actually tried to exercise. I never tried to, actively work on marathons or triathlons or lifting weights, bodybuilding, powerlifting, Olympic lifting. I never did any of that. So for me, I didn't seriously, quote unquote, seriously get into lifting until much later on, but certainly a later date. So I was around just out of high school then at that point. And a friend of mine, though now a very good friend of mine, but I just met this guy. He was really into lifting and whatnot. So, and I was, as you could see, if you're again watching the podcast, really skinny. And I asked him if he could give me some tips, and then he invited me to start working out with him. So that's exactly what I did. And by his own admission, he still finds it quite funny, and so do I actually, that he thought that I was going to be one of those people that just kind of tried working out maybe once, maybe for a week, and then would just kind of fall off and start offering excuses as to why I couldn't keep up with the workout routine. Oh, I'm too busy. School's getting in the way, like the different excuses that sometimes people make. And, but I was really determined. I actually just gotten out of a breakup, as many bodybuilders are produced out of breakups. And I was thinking to myself, how can I improve myself? So I threw myself into this weightlifting, and he took me under his wing. And we ended up working out together for 2.5 years, actually probably longer than that. But for those 2.5 years, the reason why I focus on those first 2.5 years is because I actually never took a day off. I worked out as in I stuck to my routine that I had set up for myself for that entire 2.5 years. So let's discuss what that routine was. It was over the top. It was insane. It was ridiculous. I do not recommend it to anyone. But it did gain me a ton of results. So the routine was a full body routine, and all it was is really simple, is just working out my entire body every other day. So usually a full body routine will run something like, you do chest, you do back, shoulders, arms, legs, abs. Hopefully I gotten all the major parts of the body. And then you do that 3 times a week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Now I did it just every other day. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and then it started Tuesday, Thursday, et cetera, just kept going like that. And I did that for 2.5 years. And the whole goal for me was just to continuously progress. So I knew I had to progress. So in every way I possibly could, in very unhealthy ways, I would always try to progress, even if it wasn't the right time for me to be progressing. So I was pretty obsessed. I was definitely I would say borderline addicted to working out at that point. So the routine was, a lot of compound movements, bench press, overhead press, squats, things like that. Deadlift for sure. Deadlift became one of my absolute favorite exercises for a very long time. And so I did that for 2.5 years, and the unhealthy aspect of it was not only that I didn't take a day off, and I would beat myself into the ground. That was kind of the second part that was really unhealthy, is the fact that I would beat myself into the ground. So I would do 12 sets per muscle group. So if you're not familiar with what that means, 12 sets means that I undergo an exercise. Let's say I would do bench press. Let's say I would do 5 sets of bench press, and then I would do, let's say, 4 sets of incline bench press, and then I would do 3 sets of cable flies or something along those lines. All of that would be to target my chest mainly. And then I would do extra sets for my triceps, because a bench press will, of course, activate your triceps as well, and will affect your shoulders and have wide-ranging effects. But ultimately, I would be doing 12 sets per muscle group. And that, maybe in a single workout, that's okay for like a week. But as a beginner, that's an insanely high volume. And I'll discuss volume and intensity as I get to the more intelligent training that I'm currently doing. But it was high amount of work that I was doing. So it was, I can see, I usually don't answer the live chat on air, but the people are asking how many repetitions. So I usually stuck to pretty heavy weight, so I did about 5 reps. So 12 sets, 5 repetitions, and 5 to 8 repetitions usually. And that would be every other day. So if you calculate that over a week, that's 36 to almost 50 sets a week, which is an astronomical amount of volume to do. Typically you do much, much less. And as a beginner, you should absolutely be doing much, much less. And it was getting, it definitely gets you to the point where, sure, you're maximizing muscle growth, but you're also encroaching very quickly on injury. And I certainly got injured many times. Not anything serious. I never tore anything or anything like that, but certainly damaged a lot. So I'd be constantly beat up, extremely fatigued. I remember I had several like physical breakdowns, not like my brain, it wasn't like panic attacks or anything like that. It was actually like nervous breakdowns where my body wouldn't function correctly, because I was working out so hard. And I think that's kind of what tuned me in eventually to this idea of like, maybe you should scale it back a little bit. And that's actually also what got me really into getting into the literature and understanding, okay, how can I apply, what can I gain, not just from bodybuilding forms, not from the dude bros, but also what can I gain from the literature? And ultimately, that quote unquote saved me in a very dramatic sense, to then start to implement a far more intelligent training. But let me show you the, I do have some pictures of my size overall over probably about 6 years or so, 7 years or so of me pushing myself really hard, maybe not quite to the same extent. Again, those first 2.5 years were really, really crazy. I scaled it back a little bit from there and ended up and ultimately I ended up gaining a ton of weight and I gained a massive amount of muscle. And I'm really proud of that, of course. But so I gained about 80 to 90 pounds of weight. Now, of course, definitely not all of that. As a matter of fact, a huge proportion of that was not muscle, although, a good amount was as well. So, and I knew that, of course. So, but I also knew that I was getting to a weight that, on a 6'6" frame, I still looked perfectly fine. But, I started feeling a lot more sluggish and whatnot. And it had been at this point 6, 7 years that I had continuously built up and constantly been eating and eating and eating. And you get to this point where you really truly get tired of eating. Ask, most bodybuilders out there. Not that I ever wanted to be a bodybuilder, but it's still the same general principle that you have to consume large amounts of food to be able to gain enough weight over time, and especially considering that being 6'6" means that you have to consume an insane amount of food. It was around 4,000 calories that I was consuming a day, and eventually you've got all these hormones that are telling you, please, for the love of everything, please stop eating. And you just get to the end of the day, and you're mad that you have to eat, continue to eat another like 2,000 calories or whatever it might be. So, but ultimately, it led me to a physique that was massive. I was this huge, huge individual, 6'6", 260 pounds. And for anybody who uses kilograms, that's almost 120 kilograms. So that worked out quite well. But then eventually, as I said, I was feeling really sluggish. I guess just to cover the nutrition real quick, I was eating 4,000 calories and I was trying to hit around 250 grams of protein during that time. Probably a little more protein than I actually needed, but again, I was certainly less educated at that time, and ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, it still worked out perfectly well. I worked out extremely well. So anyway, I started feeling really sluggish, and I thought to myself, "Well, I'd really like to cut down." So eventually, I did that. I ended up stripping away about 40 pounds of fat, and got, relatively lean, but it's still a process. You're going from this state of growth to a state of deprivation. So that was definitely an adjustment, and I certainly had my hurdles try for a few years trying to get to, get over the fact that I wasn't going to be getting stronger. I wasn't going to be adding on, packing on a ton of muscle during that time that I was stripping away body fat. So I kind of yo-yoed back and forth, but the trend was overall downward. So I got down to about 220 pounds, something along those lines. So then, a few years ago, maybe actually maybe, wow, like 2 years ago at this point. So now I'm like, I guess maybe 9, 10 years into my lifting journey. I ended up really trying to diet down to my leanest that I possibly could, just to see if I could do it, and also because you feel really good when you're a lot lighter, like you're really muscular, you maintain all your musculature or most the vast majority of it. But and I wanted to practice on, again, the literature was teaching me all these different things of like, hey, you don't need to do this, but you should be doing this and all this different stuff. So I wanted to experiment on all that stuff on myself. So I ended up cutting down to a significantly lower weight. So I tried to get to around 200 pounds. I think at one point I got down to like 199, which is around 90 kilograms. And it turned out that I was not competition lean by any means, but I did get pretty lean. I did get extremely lean. And so that obviously worked out really well for me. And I think that was my best physique up to that point. So during that time, a slightly more, let me discuss my training a little bit. with the training specifically, I was starting to do more of a split routine. So I was discussing a full body routine earlier. Now I was doing more of a split routine where I was doing it was a what's called an upper body, lower body split, meaning that I did upper body twice a week and I did lower body. So it would work something like this. You have upper body, which encompasses your back, your abs, your chest, and your arms, shoulders. Although I typically did abs on lower body days. But so the rest of those components all put together for the upper body on Monday. And then you have lower body where you're doing, you obviously have to break up these muscle groups. You can't just say legs because legs have different, they're more complex. We'll just put it that way. So you've got your quads, obviously, and you've got your hamstring, and you've got your calves, and those actually have subcompartments within them as well, like the rectus femoris and medius, and there's just these different sections of the quads and the hamstrings and whatnot, and you kind of have to make sure that you're hitting those with the appropriate movement. So a lower body day wasn't just I'm squatting and then I'm done. So I squatted, I would do deadlifts, and then I would do leg press, calf raises, and I think maybe one other exercise. Oh, leg extension, I think was another one that I would do. So that was for lower body, and upper body is just the same stuff, you know, like the I focus more on dumbbells because I prefer dumbbells over barbells, but either one works. Whatever you feel the most comfortable with and that you can actually progress forward, that's the best way to go. And don't worry, I'll go into exactly how that works, how you progress forward in just a minute. I just want to get finished with this story. So, yeah, Monday, lower body. Upper body on Tuesday, then you take a day off on Wednesday, then you work out upper body again on Thursday, and then lower body on Friday, and then you got your weekends off. So that is a far more balanced approach, and I would pack in less volume than what I used to do. So I do, let's say, 10 sets per session for so that would total a 20 sets for the entire week. Which is far less than the 36 to almost 50 sets before. And you might think that my progress might be worse, but no, that's not the case because there's a huge component, of course, that comes down to rest. So understanding that, and then of course nutrition. But of course, if you're not progressing, then you have to change the different variables. Okay, so that was my routine up to that point to cut down weight and just to get up to that size. And then of late, over the last year and a half, 2 years, something like that, I've started to pack on a little bit more weight again. So I'm now up to, or the picture that I'm showing right now is me at around 212 pounds. So I packed on about another 12 pounds. Of course, about 5 or 6 pounds of that is just water weight. So about, you know, 6, 7 pounds of that is some of that is fat and some of that is muscle, so trying to build that back up. Now, that said, however, right now I'm at around 225 pounds. So I'm not trying to get up to my 260 pound weight or anything like that, but I am trying to pack on more muscle, specifically on my lower body. So I've changed my routine, and this is where you get into a little bit more advanced training techniques, in that you want to, if you have a particular area that you think is a weakness, for example, for me it was my lower body. I wasn't as bad as some of the guys in the gym in college, where I completely ignored my lower body, but it definitely wasn't like a focus of mine. So over the last few years, I've been working on my lower body specifically, and it's worked out quite well. And the reason for that is because of a more advanced targeted training technique that focuses on my lower body. So right now, my current routine that I designed actually at the beginning of the year, this year, is my first day. So day one is lower body only. So I do, I'll walk you through my exactly what I do. I walk in, I do squats. So I do barbell squats, 3 sets. I'll discuss the repetitions in just a second, but do 3 sets. Then I do a leg press for another three sets. Then I typically go and do quad extensions for three sets. Three sets is going to be a theme. Then I do hamstrings a little bit, so I don't target the hamstrings too much on this first leg day, but I do a hamstring curl for three sets, and then I do calf raises. I don't think I'm forgetting anything on that first day. Now the repetitions change based on the week. So I've got a 4 week, what's called I've got a mesocycle that I create. So each week has different repetition ranges that I stick to. My first week is a high repetition, so I'm aiming for around 14, 16, 18 repetitions. Then the next week, the weight goes up. So intensity, that's the term, intensity goes up and the number of repetitions decreases slightly, just slightly, by like two or three repetitions, and the weight slightly increases. Then the next week, same thing, weight increases a little bit, reps decrease a little bit. And I found that that actually works quite well for me. And I do that for 4 weeks. Then I assess, do I need a week off? Do I need a deload week, which is a week where you are doing about 50%, if not less, of your normal weight. So you're just kind of going through the motions, kind of trying to get blood flow through the different musculatures. And if I feel good, then I just go straight into my next 4 weeks and just try to progress in just, I pick a few exercises that I want to progress in that I'm really focused in on. And I'll try to progress in those. And if I don't, then I try again the next cycle. And if I don't again, then I need to make some adjustments. I need to make some volume adjustments, intensity adjustments, rest adjustments. There's a lot of stuff that I could go into here, but I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. But ultimately, just knowing that if I don't make any progress, then there are adjustments that I need to make. Now, that's my day one for lower body. So I focus only on lower body because that's what I'm actually trying to focus on growing. I'm pretty satisfied with my upper body at the moment, except for my abs, which is something that I'm still working on. So as a result, day two is upper body mostly with a little bit of sprinkling in of lower body. Now, that said, you should be giving yourself rest between different sessions. So, because I did lower body the first day, I don't do this next workout the very next day. I do it 2 days later, sometimes 3 days later, but I usually do it 2 days later. So, if I do my lower body only day one on Monday, then I would do this next one on Wednesday. And that would be upper body focused. So, that for that, I guess I'll walk you through that. I walk in and I do dumbbell flat press, so bench press with a dumbbell press or dumbbells, and that I do for three sets, and then I do another three sets for incline, and then from there, I'll typically do some shoulder movements if that's overhead press, if that's lateral raises, if that's upright rows, things of that nature, three sets. Because your shoulders are involved in so many different other exercises, I don't do a ton of work on my shoulders. Then from there, I actually switch to back and I'll do something like pull-ups, lat pull-down, something along those lines. I'll do, you guessed it, three sets. My back has always kind of exploded in terms of I haven't had to do much to actually grow it. So that's all I do, just those three sets. And it maintains everything. As a matter of fact, I've gotten even stronger as a result, which isn't uncommon. And then I do a little bit of legs on that day, which like I said, it's focused on upper body. And then I do a little bit of legs where I do split squats. I just do some split squats and I'll do a little bit of hamstring work through hamstring curls. Again, three sets for each. So nothing too extreme. And then I do arms, and which is just, I don't do any tricep work because your triceps are getting murdered through your dumbbell press, bench press, whatever you end up choosing, any sort of push exercise. And as well as your other exercises. And my triceps are again, are not, my arms are again something that I can just look at and they just tend to grow. So I just do three sets of curls, and that's it. And then I do abs at home a little bit. So I'll do like three sets of I told you there's a theme here. Three sets for abs. And that's my day two. So then day three is lower body mostly, where with a little bit of upper body. So lower body, I try to focus a little more on the hamstrings. So I'll do stiff leg deadlifts. I'll do the hip thrusts. That'll hit your glutes as well as your hamstrings. And then from there, I go into leg press again to hit my quads, just to make sure I'm hitting my quads. And you'll notice that's the third time I've hit my legs for the week, again, because I'm so focused on it. And then from there, I'll go and do some quad extensions. I believe I do quad extensions. Don't quote me on that, but definitely the first three exercises. And then from there, I go into my upper body. So where I just do three sets for chest, kind of a similar exercise, flat dumbbell press or incline press. I'll do three sets for shoulders, and then I'll do three sets for a horizontal back exercise, aside from stiff leg deadlifts. So I'll do barbell rows, which are one of my strongest exercises. I can do a ton of weight on those, so it's kind of one of my favorites as a result. It's an ego boost. So I'll throw that in there, and then that makes my total for the back, not including deadlifts, quote unquote, is six sets for my back only. And then from back, and then I'll do a little bit for arms, like I usually do, and a little bit for abs, and then that's it. So that's my workout. That's 3 days a week. That's the only thing I can manage because my schedule in the day is absolutely insane. As a PhD student, I'm also teaching now at a university, and also I have to keep up with physionics. So, and I try to sprinkle in a social life in there wherever I can. So, among my other ambitions. So that's as much as I can handle, and I'm actually progressing. So everything is working out perfectly fine. As long as I don't need a minute to cry, then I'm good to go. So that's my workout routine, and really it's really just messing around with the two main variables, right? Intensity, which is the amount of weight that you're putting on the bar, and volume done, which is the amount of total work that you're going to end up doing. And for muscle growth, it's volume focused with a little bit of focus on intensity. And if you want to get stronger, like focus on strength, then you modulate intensity and decrease volume a significant amount. And there's, of course, a lot of nuance between those. Okay, so that's my lifting routine. Now I'm going to go into a little bit of my health habits, like what do I do nutrition-wise, supplements, things like that. I did mention before a bit on my nutrition. Okay, so when I'm gaining muscle, to gain muscle, generally you want to be gaining weight. If the scale isn't moving, if you're getting on your scale, and it isn't going up, then you're most likely not building muscle. There are definitely exceptions to this, but I don't want people thinking like trying to think strategically about are they the exception, and just assume that you're part of the rule. If the scale isn't going up and you're working out, and especially if your progress is stalled, one of the reasons might be that you're not eating enough. So that's something that I focus on. That is the number one thing that I focus on. The scale needs to be slightly creeping up. So let's say every week, a quarter of a pound to a pound, or to half a pound, sorry. So a quarter of a pound to half a pound. If the weight is increasing steadily, then I'm feeling pretty good. That's great. And of course, obviously the progress in the gym has to continuously be going forward. If that's increases in repetitions, increases in number of sets, if that's adding another exercise, whatever it might be. So weight has to be going up, meaning that I have to hit my calorie target. I've been counting calories for 9 years straight, I think, something like that. I haven't missed a single day. And it's not a burden on my life. It literally takes me maybe 5 minutes in my entire day. And I don't obsess about food. Like you heard me talk earlier, sometimes I resent the fact that I have to eat so much. So right now, currently, the 4,000 calorie goal that I was trying to hit earlier may have been a little too ambitious. So I've dropped that down to 3,700 calories. I'm gaining weight at 3,700 calories at a modest rate. So with that, then I try to consume around 200 to 220 grams of protein. Actually, that's a bit of a lie. I'm consuming around 150 to 170 grams of protein when I'm gaining weight. However, when I'm dropping weight, when I'm trying to drop fat and preserve my musculature, to strip away body fat, then I will knock off a ton of calories off of my initial calorie estimate, which is to maintain my weight, it's around 3,500, 3,600 calories. And that's been like that for 12 years, or as long as I've been counting calories, and even before that. So I know that. So all I do is just drop 500 calories off that, and then I start seeing a little bit of weight loss. If I want to get super aggressive with it, if I want this to be short and sweet and potentially arduous, then I'll cut off a ton of calories, like 1,000 calories off. And every single day, then I'll be 1,000 calories under that number. So instead of 3,600 that I consume, I eat 2,600. And then I bump up my proteins to 200 to 220 grams a day. And from there, the body fat just starts stripping off. And eventually it slows down because that's what happens, thermogenesis, adaptive thermogenesis. And then from here, then I start to reduce my calories even further. And that can be a slog for sure. And some you get to the ending points, the last 5 pounds or so, and you might have to start implementing techniques like calorie cycling, carb cycling. Usually people talk about like carb cycling. I'm just going to call it calorie cycling, where on the weekends I want to be eating a little bit more. During the week I'm so busy, so it's okay if I under consume. So in that situation I'll be consuming, let's say, 2,000 calories during the week for those 5 days, and then I'll bump it up to like 3,100 or 3,200 calories on the weekend. So that's calorie cycling, and it works. It works really well. It staves off certain hunger. It takes advantage of your lifestyle. It plays your lifestyle against your hunger, and works out quite well. Don't get me wrong, there's still difficult moments, but so that's how it works in terms of my nutrition. Do I follow keto or veganism or anything like that? No, I don't. I just do flexible dieting. I'm gonna have ice cream later. And I do that even when I'm dropping body fat. I'll have a little bit of ice cream at the end of the day. That's not a problem. Generally, I eat lean sources of protein, eat some vegetables, things like that. Pasta for sure. I restrict myself in no way, aside from the total amount that I consume. And I, of course, strategically, when I'm dropping body fat as well, another aspect is that I intermittent fast. Not because I'm banking on the glory of intermittent fasting, simply because I feel more alive. I feel better when I'm pushing my meals till kind of the end of the day. I have a hard time going to sleep on an empty stomach. So what I do is I just consume all those like 2,000 calories or 2,400 calories, whatever my calorie amount is. I don't eat until the evening, essentially. So then I'll eat one or two meals in like a 3 to 4 hour window. And then I feel really full, which is fantastic. And I don't really notice my hunger because I'm so busy during the day. So yeah, it le leads me to be fasting for about 20 hours in the day, and it works out really well. So that's really the only big difference. Okay. Oh, and when I'm gaining muscle, I'm not intermittent fasting, because it's counterintuitive. And also because I have to eat so much that it's better for me to knock out at least one of those meals, 1,000 calories, just to chop off 1,000 calories at the beginning of the day. And then I'm so busy during the day that I can't eat again until evening. So an example would be, typically I wake up at like 5, 5:30. Then I'll go to the gym at 6, 6:30, or I'll have to teach at another university, so I have to drive there. So then I tend to work out for about 2 hours, or I'm at this university for about 2 hours plus travel. So then I don't get into lab until about 10, so the actual laboratory where I do research, and then I leave the lab around 5 or 6. And then usually I'm working on physionic, doing some video editing or trying to, write scripts or, read research and things like that for about 1 hour to 2 hours. And during that time, I'm usually thinking about like, okay, well, what am I going to eat? Things like that. So, if it's during the weight loss period, obviously I'm not eating at all during that period. And then I'm just going to eat my one glorious meal or two glorious meals. And if I'm gaining muscle, then I have a quick breakfast. I just slam like 1,000 calories plus like 50 grams of protein in that first meal between when I get home from the gym or from teaching and before I go to the lab. And that's how that works. Okay, so the final thing I wanted to discuss is the supplements that I take. I have them here. I'll just go ahead and go through them. So I take a multivitamin. It's nothing special, just a one a day multivitamin. I actually snap these in half, just because the content in here is just for my nutrition in general. I know I'm going to be consuming a lot of these micronutrients, so it's kind of pointless for me to be overindulging just continuously on like 300% of these vitamins. So I just snap them in half. Then you get double the content. Pro tip, folks. You don't get this kind of content on YouTube. And I don't care about one a day. This is just what I got. The other thing that I started getting, and I'm actually going to be releasing some content on this, is omega-3s, specifically on brain health. So I've been pretty stretched thin over the last long time. So And I noticed that when I was actually supplementing with omega-3s that it worked out quite well for me. I just somehow just felt a lot more energetic and sharper and whatnot. So, and I had gotten away from that for a very long time. So recently, over the last like month or so, I started taking omega-3s. These are by Nordic Naturals. I don't care about this brand either. But the one positive of this brand that you may want to look for is the triglyceride form. I've done a little bit of research into that, and it seems to absorb easier. And you also want to make sure that this actually dissolves, that the capsule itself dissolves. So that's something to keep in mind. So omega-3s is another one. I have a whole book on this, so yeah, you can bet that I'm taking creatine. So I've been taking creatine consistently for many, many years. Sometimes I forget, but overall, I'm definitely taking creatine. I just use the cheapest creatine I can find. So I got this on deal, and this is what I usually go for. It's Optimum Nutrition. It's micronized, so it doesn't sit in your stomach as long. And beyond that, so it doesn't create stomach discomfort. I've got a stomach of steel, so it's not really an issue, but that's how they sell it, micronized. But this is one of the benefits of a micronized creatine. It's not any added expense, I don't think. So, creatine powder. I can certainly go into the many, many benefits of creatine at a later time. And the final supplement that I take is collagen. So, I have a little bit of content on collagen, and I have tried a few different brands, and I will admit that Vital Proteins is the one that I found to be fantastic. I just put it into my coffee, and it dissolves like that, and then I'm done. I don't have to worry about it. I take about 10 grams of collagen, and I have considerable amount of content on how collagen affects your skin, because I want to stay youthful for the rest of my next 1,000 years. So I take collagen for that. And it also has hyaluronic acid in it. So it comes with kind of a variety of different benefits. You don't have to get Vital Proteins. I don't care. I've tried bulk supplements. They were okay. They just tasted like, well, not good. Let's just put it that way. But Vital Proteins is the one that I use. It's definitely more expensive. But the unflavored works out really well if you just add it to coffee. It's perfect, way to go. Okay, well, that's what I got for you. Hopefully you found this informative. Hopefully this gives people some details. If you have questions on anything in particular, you're certainly welcome to ask me in the comments. And hopefully you gain something from it. And I will catch you in the next one. Have a good one. Bye.